Grey said. This is our fault. If we hadn't come, hadn't fought the Drachma, they wouldn't attack you. Inadvertently, he'd put his sister in the greatest danger imaginable. He knew what he needed to do. It would be the hardest thing he'd ever have to do. I'll leave, he said. I'll pay the blood price. I'll sate their hunger myself. No, Kyla said, but Grey refused to meet her eyes. He hated to hurt her like this, but the alternative was far worse.
I will go, Smithers said,
surprising Grey by breaking his silence.
My daughter needs you, but I'm an old man. I will pay the price.
And I will follow my captain,
one of the seamen said. Others echoed his words, nodding in Smithers's direction. The captain shook his head, but didn't say anything. For only the second time since Grey had met the man, his emotions seemed to overwhelm him into silence. Grey said,
I don't know what to say. I can't let you make this sacrifice for us.
You can, and you will, Smithers said. You are my son now, just as Kyla is my daughter. All I ask is that you care for her.
The king, who had been watching the exchange with thin-lipped interest, finally interrupted. Your loyalty and willing sacrifice moves me, he said, but it doesn't change anything. The Drachma believe the treaty has been broken by pirates. You dressed the part, you acted the part. Giving your lives to them will not satisfy them. They will still attack. They won't stop until there is no man or woman left on this island.
King,
the pirate captain urged once more. The man was practically shaking with anticipation. Or was it fear?
The day has wings. They will likely attack at nightfall. We need to prepare.
King Eric glanced at Shay longingly. Then he said,
Sound the alarm.
Turning back to Grey, he said,
You and your companions, come with me.
Where are we going? Grey asked.
You are the only living souls to have fought the Drachma in this generation. We need to know what to expect. And you may not be able to sail away to protect us, but you will fight. We all will.
More than 300 pirates gathered before them, bearing beautiful weapons of fine workmanship. Sprinkled amongst them were the non-pirates who lived on Pirate's Peril too. Cooks, merchants, even the women from the pleasure houses, now covered up and grim-faced, stood ready to fight. Grey's head was still spinning from his conversation with the king. Was there really such a thing as a good pirate? He shook his head. It didn't matter. Not now. All that mattered was the impending attack. If they lost. Grey shuddered to think what would become of Kyla and Shay. At his side, Kyla linked her smallest finger in his. He squeezed back, relishing the closeness he felt to her. Their shared trust and the strength they borrowed from each other. Shay had been left behind in the king's quarters, guarded by the two burly pirates. Though Grey had only just met King Eric Clawborn, he trusted him with his sister. They bore two halves of the same mark, after all. Like it or not, they were connected by a power greater than any of them. As succinctly as possible, Grey and his companions related the attack they'd faced from the Drachma, fielding questions from the pirates. They wanted to know every detail, how they moved as they attacked, whether they struck in pairs or in bunches or one at a time, whether they went for a killing bite first or tried to incapacitate. These were men and women experienced in the art of battle, having defeated dozens, maybe hundreds, of ships over their collective lifetimes. Eric seemed content to listen, though at times Grey had the impression his mind had wandered elsewhere. After every question had been asked, the pirates dispersed, their orders to be provided by their pirate captains. Blades of sunlight still managed to sneak over the high cliffs, but they were swiftly decreasing in number and intensity as the day charged toward twilight. Grey said to Eric,
What now?
Now we wait, the king said.
They waited in the king's quarters, where Shay continued to sleep, oblivious to the danger she was in, that they were all in. The king sat near her, his eyes focused on her face, occasionally darting to her hand, which lay palm up. Her skin was clear and smooth,
her mark hidden as was his. "I recognize you," he said, though his head didn't turn. Instinctively, Grey knew he meant him. "You saw me through her eyes on the Dead Isles?" "Aye, and on the ship. But I couldn't hear anything. I didn't know you were her brother. I only saw flashes, the experiences she had that were the most intense." Grey nodded. It made sense. If Shay dreamed of him, of course he would have known of her, too. "She spoke of you often," Grey admitted. "She believed meeting you was her destiny, her purpose, her responsibility." Eric finally turned to meet Grey's eyes. "I felt the same way in the last few months. Shame our meeting had to come under such dangerous circumstances." "I'm sorry this happened," Grey said, though the king had already looked away, his gaze returning to Shay's sleeping form. Silence fell, save for the crackling of the hearth fire and the whispers of Smithers's men. They were all untied and had been lent fine weapons. They would be the last line of defense against the Drahma. Grey still felt they should be the front line, but the king had insisted they stay with him and Shay. Kyla stood up from where she'd been sitting with her father. She sat down next to Grey, their legs touching. "Seems your time as a fearsome pirate captain was short-lived," she said. He smiled, thankful for the brief respite from the seriousness of the situation. "And your time as a pirate wench even shorter." "And yet I'm still dressed as one," she said, pursing her lips seductively. "If we survive this," Grey said, "I request you keep these clothes." "I never knew you had a pirate fetish," she said, slapping him playfully on the shoulder. "Me either." The moment of levity had run its course, and Grey could no longer maintain the facade. He sighed, feeling exhausted. Kyla cupped his chin. "We are with you. You're not alone." "I know," Grey said. "That only makes things worse. Aren't you scared?" Kyla, staring into his eyes with an intensity that made him want to kiss her, seemed to consider the question. "When you face the loss of loved ones, you can either curl up in a ball and hide, or you can take it on the chin. With my mother, I chose the ball approach. My father did, too. It served neither of us well. Hell, it almost killed us both. I thought it would, but guess what? It didn't. If anything, we're stronger now, because we got through it. Because we're still together, still fighting." A fierce look crossed her face. "With my Myrie," she pointed to her chin. "I hate that I lost Myrie. I hate that I spent so much time with her inside me and didn't get to meet her. Sometimes I curse any and every god I can think of for taking her from me, but I'm not going to be the ball again. Not ever again." Grey loved the determination radiating from her words, from the way she stuck out her chin stubbornly. But it didn't change the fact that he'd brought them all here. It was on him. Kyla seemed to read his mind. "You feel like you let everyone down," she said. Not a question, a statement, and an accurate one. Grey nodded, wondering where she was going with this. "First, Rhea Loren, your first love." Grey's heart pounded as he tried to read her tone, her expression. She continued. "Then Shay, who was taken from you." "Yes, yes, yes." "And now me, my father, his men." "Hell, Grey, do you think you failed this entire rutting island of people, too?" He was taken aback by her words. Not because of the exasperation in her tone, but because the answer was a resounding yes. He nodded. "Wrath, Grey. You're not that important a person." She shoved him in the chest. Not hard, but enough to make him rock back slightly. Her response and the gesture forced a ragged breath from his lips. "I know I'm not," Grey said. "Then why in Wrath's name do you think the entire world revolves around you?" "I don't think that." "Do I?" "Everything you've told me, all the awful things that have happened to you and your sister, were not caused by the mistakes you made." Grey gaped. "Of course they were.
I got tangled up with Rhea Loren. I crossed her. I lost Shay. You rescued her, you dolt. And from the sounds of Rhea Loren, she is the one who made a mistake in capturing you and your sister, and in the end she regretted it. Whatever attacked the palace, this King's Bane guy started this, not you. Yes, you are a man I care about greatly, a good man most of the time, but you are not the master of all things, Grey Aris. You are just a man getting pushed by the winds of fate, just as we all are. And by my estimation, you are doing your damn best to protect those you care about, which is exactly why I love you. Grey didn't move, didn't breathe. Had he misheard her?
I don't know what to say.
Say you love me too, you rutting fool.
I love you too.
She kissed him hard on the lips, and then stood, returning to her father's side, where the old man was laughing his head off.
"You have a good woman there," King Eric said, apparently having overheard the entire conversation.
Grey, still stunned, said nothing. A moment later, the alarm bells began clanking violently. The Drahma had arrived to claim their blood price.
94. The Southern Empire, Pirate's Peril. Grey Aris. The first screams announced the Drahma's arrival a moment after the alarm bells. They came in two forms, the ear-shattering shrieks of the sea creatures as they attacked, and the pained cries of pirates as they died. Together they were a grim closing symphony on a brutally long day. Grey knew tonight the ancient creatures weren't here just for blood. They wanted to end their lives, all of them.
Not on my watch.
His conversation with Kyla had left him thrumming with energy and courage. She loved him, and he loved her. Add Shay, Captain Smithers, and his mates to the mix, and he had plenty of compelling reasons to fight on this night. The Pirate King had not moved from Shay's side, and Grey got the impression he would die to protect her, their bond from the dream world as strong as anything that could have been forged in reality.
That makes two of us, Grey thought.
Smithers was at the window, half his men huddled around him, while the other half guarded the door. Down below there were also a dozen pirates protecting the front door. Kylo grabbed Grey's hand and said,
"Take it on the chin, and we'll emerge stronger than ever."
The fervor in her tone was such that he couldn't not believe her. Smithers said,
"There are dozens!"
There was a note of excitement in his voice, as if this was the best night of his life. He looked back, grinning.
"He's lost his damn mind," Grey thought.
"Incoming!"
one of the sailors announced. The group began backing away from the window, while Smithers took one large step back, brandishing his scimitar with a flourish.
"Let them come," he growled.
For a frozen moment there was near silence, time seeming to crawl forward as the fire popped, as hearts beat, as breaths slid in and out of lungs. The window exploded inward as if punched by a large stone, spraying glass shrapnel into Smithers's face and across the wooden floorboards. The Drahma shrieked through the ragged opening, claws flashing like a dozen knives in the orange light. Smithers ducked at the last moment, flipping the creature over his shoulder. It crashed into two of his men, writhing and squirming. One sailor's throat was slit open, while another got a bath of sea slime in his face. The rest of the men dove atop the Drahma and began stabbing. Soon it was dead, but only just in time for them to face the next foe. Two slipped through the window with incredible speed, considering their lack of feet, landing on tails and hands with a dull thump-thump. Somewhere down below, the sounds of a fight rose through the floorboards, while all around the night was full of the cries of battle as the streets became killing fields. One of the Drahma hissed at Smithers, who only said,
"War, girl, I don't want to carve ye, but I will."
She swept her dark green seaweed hair away from her face with a flick of her claws, revealing her scaled breasts and firm abdomen. Her partner shrieked a war cry, and as one, they attacked. Not Smithers, who was ready for it, but King Eric, who was crouched by Shay, blocking her face from view. They launched themselves like thrown spears, using their strong tails to propel their powerful bodies up and over two chairs and a chest.
Though clearly taken by surprise, Eric pushed to his feet, sword already drawn. He slashed, and Drahma blood sprayed as he opened her throat. The second one, however, had come in lower, driving its head into his midsection, slamming him back against the wall. Like a snake, she wriggled her way up and sank her fangs into the king's neck. Grey sprang into action, the creature too close to where Shay slept for comfort. He felt Kyla right behind him. He leapt atop the Drahma's back, reaching around her head as she bucked and shrieked, sliding his blade hand across her neck. She slammed back and forth violently several times, before going still, slumping to the floor. Eric stared at him with wide eyes.
"You saved my life." "I did it for Shay," Grey admitted. "But, yes, regardless of your reasons, I am in your debt."
"I'll call you on that if we survive the night."
The king offered a wry smile.
"The bitch bit me."
"Will it kill you?"
He shook his head.
"I'll be ill for a few days because of the venom, but that's all. She only got a gulp or two before you arrived."
Grey nodded, turning his head to listen. A few shrieks pierced the night, but compared to before, it was quieter.
"Is it almost over?"
The king laughed.
"Captain Jolly, it's just beginning."
King Eric had spoken truthfully. The battle raged for half the night, the Drahma attacking in waves, never all at once. Usually they came in threes, with one coming through the door or window first, the other two close behind. They lost another three seamen, bringing their total to six crew. Smithers was bitten three times, but he refused to move to the back.
"Used to have a hound named Biter that'd chomp on me all the time," he said several times.
Kyla showed her mettle on at least three occasions, twice killing the creatures on her own, and once holding her foe at bay long enough for Grey to finish it off with a knife hand to its heart. Grey received multiple claw wounds, to his arms, his legs, his chest and his back, but avoided the fangs. Shay, with everyone working together to protect her, slept through the whole thing. That made Grey smile. And then, when no attacks came for more than 2 hours, he fell asleep on the floor beside her, dead to the world. He was dimly aware of Kyla's warm body beside him, something he would have enjoyed immensely had sleep not pulled him under like a dark wave. When he awoke, the sun was streaming through the broken window. Kyla was bustling about, humming a sailing tune. Shay was still unconscious beside him, and everyone else was eating breakfast and sipping hot tea. The king was nowhere to be seen.
"Any news?"
Grey rasped, his mouth as dry as sand.
"Finally," Kyla said with feigned exasperation. "You slept as if you'd fought ancient sea creatures all night."
He pointed at a plate of food she was carrying.
"That,"
he said, hoping it got his point across.
"Pirates are so demanding," she said.
But she gave him the plate, which he immediately tucked into, using his fingers to push the food into his mouth. Scrambled eggs, pickled sardines, a thick slab of buttered toast, it was the best food he'd ever tasted. The warm tea, lemon with a hint of honeysuckle, washed it all down. Kyla watched him devour the plate with satisfaction.
"Who said I can't cook?"
"I'm a lucky man,"
Grey said, already feeling better, though his wounds were weeping blood and pus. He grabbed her around the waist and pulled her into his lap. She squealed with delight, which made the seamen applaud raucously.
"Don't get too frisky, lad," Captain Smithers said from across the room. "Till ye wed her, she's still me little girl."
Duly chastised, Grey released her with a smile, which she returned, and pulled himself to his feet. They crossed the room hand in hand, dodging diners until they reached the captain. The man was clearly in a bad way, propped up against several large cushions, his dark-skinned face practically turning green. Sweat beaded on his forehead. Kyla used a wet cloth to dab his skin, and he smiled gratefully.
"You're a good daughter," he said. "Don't deserve ye half the time."
"More like all the time,"
she said, helping him take a sip of water. Most of it dribbled down his chin, forming drops in his beard.
"And quit being so dramatic. You're not dying. King Eric said you'll have a fever, chills, and plenty of achiness for a few days, but then you'll make a full recovery."
The captain winked at Grey.
"Can't even milk a little special treatment these days."
"When you're not around,
She speaks of you as if you hung the moons, Grey advised. Kyla slapped him on the arm. Stop giving away all my secrets. The captain tried to laugh, but ended up clutching his sides in obvious pain. Sleep, Da, Kyla said. I'll be back to check on you later. Grey said, We should find Eric. Kyla nodded. Grey turned to the sailors, most of whom were on to their third or fourth helpings. Keep an eye on the lass, will you, boys? They nodded, their mouths full. They started down the winding staircase, which looked freshly scrubbed, still moist and glossy. To clean the blood, Grey thought. On the first floor several pirates were working, cleaning blood, both pirate and drama, from the floors, fixing broken furniture, and scraping the shards of broken glass from the window frames. One of them nodded at Grey and another tipped his cap to Kyla, then went on working. Outside things were even worse. Nearly every building had significant damage. Broken windows, scratched wood, where the drama had evidently clambered up the sides of buildings, shattered doors and broken roofs. The streets were a mess of blood and ichor. And then there were the bodies. Some of the carts were laden with piles of sea creatures, their flesh already turning grey in the midday light, but most were piled with pirates. Grey stopped counting when he reached 30, feeling suddenly ill, as if he, like Smithers, had been bitten. He doubled over, clutching his stomach. I should have warned you, Kyla said, rubbing his back. It's fine, Grey said. He remembered Kyla's words from the night before. This was not all his fault, was it? Yes, they'd broken the treaty, but it was by accident. And anyway, if the Pirate King had known they were coming, why didn't he meet them at sea, thus preventing such a grievous error? The realization hit Grey so hard he straightened up. At that same moment he spotted Eric, who was conferring with several pirates about how best to reattach a door to its hinges. Grey shrugged Kyla off and stalked up, anger coursing through him. Grey? Kyla said. But Grey didn't hear her, or didn't want to. He grabbed the Pirate King by the shirt with one hand, flung him up against the side of the building, and growled in his face, You could have prevented this. You could have prevented all these deaths, and the ones before, the other men we lost. For a moment, the King looked surprised, his face ashen, and Grey remembered he'd been bitten, too. This man was ill, and yet he was still out here, helping his men and women. Strong hands grasped Grey's arms from behind, and he went airborne, slamming into the ground on his back, the breath rushing out of him. Two burly pirates, the same two he'd first encountered the day before, stood over him. They looked ready to run him through if their king commanded it. It's fine, Eric said, using the back of his sleeve to wipe sweat from his brow. I deserved that. He walked over to Grey, looking down at him. You think I don't know I could have saved them? He said. It's all I've thought about since you arrived 10 men short. It's all I've thought about since I awoke this morning to find half my pirates dead or seriously injured. I will have to live with this mistake for the rest of my life. It was the last response Grey had expected to get, and it took all the fight out of him. Well, if he had any left after being slammed to the ground, that is. But he still didn't understand. Then why didn't you sail out to meet us? He asked. Eric sighed. Because I thought I was losing my mind, for one, he said. My men and women thought I was sick, because sometimes I would get dizzy in the middle of doing something. I couldn't tell them about the visions, about some young girl I'd never met. They'd think me mad or perverted or worse. So I kept them to myself. It wasn't until I received word of a lone ship sailing into Pirate's Peril that I knew the dreams were real. I also couldn't know when you would arrive, if ever. It might have been days or months or years or never. Still, looking back, I should have trusted my instincts. If I had, none of this would have happened. Good men and women would be alive. Their blood soaks my soul and drowns my conscience. Grey felt awful for what he'd said, the judgment he'd passed, as if he had any right. I know the feeling, he said. Maybe we have more in common than either of us think. The King extended a hand and Grey took it, allowing himself to be pulled to his feet.
We have Shay, Eric said. I don't know what that means exactly, not yet, but I will.
Gray nodded, wondering when Shay would wake up. Now that the battle was over and things had calmed down, his worry for her began to grow. What if she never woke up? He knew it was pointless to think like that, but the thought wouldn't go away, like a rat gnawing at his insides. We need to talk about something else, he said to the king, trying to distract himself. Eric frowned.
What?
Leaving. His frown deepened.
No one is leaving.
The argument had been in full swing for the better part of an hour. The king had refused to discuss the future until after each and every one of their dead comrades had been given a proper burial at sea, which basically meant they were dropped off the cliffs with large stones tied to their ankles. Even the Drahma were treated this way, though from a different cliff, with the stones tied to their tails. Despite the brewing difference of opinion, Grey's respect for the pirate king had continued to grow. Now, however, they sat on opposite ends of the large table, staring daggers at each other.
This is our home, King Eric said. My home. And my father's before that. We're not just going to leave.
They'd gone around and around in circles, but Grey wasn't ready to back down. They couldn't stay here. It was suicide.
Pirates' peril will never be a safe haven for you again, he argued. You may have won the battle, but the war is far from over. Already, several large splashes had been spotted by scouts. Although they hadn't seen what had caused them, it was almost certainly Drahma. In Grey's estimation, they would attack again, sooner rather than later.
I will talk to them as my father did before me. I can explain what happened. The circumstances. We can forge a new treaty.
The determination on Eric's face was like steel armor, so strong that it almost made Grey want to believe him. Almost. But he couldn't take the risk, not with those he loved still in danger.
They are not going to forget how many we killed. They attacked us, Eric shouted, jumping to his feet. And we broke the treaty, Grey countered.
It didn't matter that it was ignorance that caused the breach, not any more. Too much blood had been spilt. As the two men stared at each other, the rest of the pirates at the table glanced back and forth between them, probably placing silent wagers on who would blink first. Kyla had left the meeting half an hour earlier, calling them both stubborn pig-headed mules. Smithers, having been bitten thrice as many times as anyone else, was sleeping off his latest fever.
And then, a voice from the seventh heaven. Grey?
All heads turned to find Shay at the foot of the steps, her white purity dress wrinkled and creased, her eyes bright and focused.
I'm here, Shay, Grey said,
his own voice a whisper. Her eyes danced from person to person, making her way down the line until they widened, settling on the pirate king.
It's you,
she said with awe.
Yes, he said. It's so nice to finally meet you, Shay Aris. I am King Eric Clawborn.
Shay's awakening had delayed the decision, at least for a while. Grey was ecstatic, picking Shay up in a bear hug and spinning her around. She squeezed back, her small arms tight against his neck. Eric ordered the other pirates to vacate the room, which they did, and offered Shay a seat by the hearth. Kyla had come down to watch upon Shay's request, squeezing in between Grey and his sister as they sat across from the king.
My dear, he said, I've been waiting so long to meet you.
In the firelight, Shay's eyes shone.
I've dreamed about this moment so often, it feels as if I'm dreaming now, she said. Does that make sense?
Yes, he said,
more than you can know. I can still hardly believe it.
He shook his head in wonderment. Grey had never seen the Pirate King look so unsure of himself.
"Can I see your mark?" Shay asked.
"Of course."
He extended his hand toward the hearth. At first just the edges of the key appeared, but then, slowly, the entire mark burst to life, shining forth. Shay licked her lips and then mimicked his movements, until her half of the key appeared.
Their hands moved closer, a mere hair's breadth away.
"The key,"
Kyla murmured. Grey, for the first time, realized it was the king's right hand, while it was Shay's left that held her mark. Almost as if they were meant to be clasped together. He shook the thought away. It made him uncomfortable. He cleared his throat.
"We're still not any closer to understanding what the key is meant to unlock," he said.
"Grey," Shay said, "thank you for everything. Calm yourself. This is meant to be."
She grasped King Eric's hand. Grey tried to pull her away, but it was too late. Something was already happening. Clasped together, the light seemed to burn through their hands, revealing their bones, which looked like white, five-fingered trees. Shay's eyes rolled back in her head until only the whites were showing, Eric's, too. Grey fought at their fingers, but they were locked tight. Their bodies were shaking, convulsing. Their lips moving, but not saying anything, as if they were engaged in a conversation only they could hear.
"Shay!"
Grey cried, still fighting her fingers, but she had the strength of a much larger person. Eric's were equally powerful, clamped down like a metal vise. Kyla touched his shoulder and he flinched.
"Help me,"
he said.
"Grey," she said, "leave them be."
What?
Grey turned to look at her.
"He's hurting her."
She shook her head.
"Look at her face. It's peaceful."
Grey did look, and he was surprised to find that despite the rolled back eyes, the rest of her face was as calm as the waters of a pond on a windless day.
"She's not in pain,"
Kyla said gently, pulling him back. He let her, falling back into her arms, his breath coming in waves.
"What is happening to them? Why are they like that?" "I don't know,"
Kyla said, hugging him from behind.
"But it's important. This is what needs to happen. I believe that now. Before, I wasn't certain. But now, this all has to mean something."
Grey knew exactly what she meant. All those they'd lost, all the sacrifice, all the pain and broken hearts and sadness. The world might be a broken place, but that didn't mean it couldn't be fixed. Somehow. Watching his sister and the young pirate king holding hands made a shiver run through him. And then it was over. Shay gasped, her fingers tearing free of the king's. The king fell from his chair, panting, his chest heaving. They were both staring at their palms, where their marks were slowly fading away, leaving only smooth skin behind. Grey was at Che's side in an instant, cradling her head against his chest.
"Are you hurt?"
he asked. Her eyes were wide with wonder, and something else as she looked at him. Something she tried to hide, but was unable to from someone who'd known her as long as Grey had. And he knew. What she hid was fear.
95. The Southern Empire, Pirate's Peril. Grey Aris.
"We saw them,"
King Eric said, once he'd caught his breath.
"Saw who?"
Kyla asked. She was on her knees, sandwiched in between Grey and the king.
"Others,"
Shay said.
"Ones like us."
"Marked?"
Grey said. Shay nodded gravely.
Eric said, "There are more than I think anyone knows. Two in Fanes, one in Calip. There are two in the east, but then one died. A huge man, Bjorn Stonesledge."
The Easterner's legend was known even in the west.
"The Ironmarked,"
Grey said. Shay nodded, picking up the thread.
"In the north there is only one, but she is powerful. A young girl, like me. But she is blind."
"Blind?"
Kyla said.
"But how could a blind girl have any sort of power?" "Those who see with more than their eyes see more than any of us,"
Shay said. The words sounded almost like a quote, but Grey didn't know where from. She continued,
"In the west there were none like us."
She said the last part sadly, like she was part of a unique group of creatures slowly becoming extinct.
"There were two others, too,"
Eric said.
"They stood together. One shone with the brightness of the sun. It poured from his chest.
All around him were saved, their injuries and afflictions healed. The other was pure darkness, created from shadow and death.
King's Bane, Grey said, remembering the bodies in Night's End. All the guards. The king, his throat opened up.
Shay nodded.
Bane is threatening to undo everything the Fate Marked have done.
Kyla said,
I don't understand. What have the Fate Marked done?
Peace, Shay and Eric said at the same time. They smiled at each other, but it reached neither of their eyes.
Grey said, There can be no peace. All four kingdoms are at war. Even the empires of the south are embroiled in a civil war. Peace is a fool's errand.
He could hear the cynicism in his own voice, but he couldn't help it.
What did any of this have to do with his sister, anyway? All this pirate king?
What does it all mean? What does your key do?
Kyla asked.
Grey's eyes snapped to hers. He'd forgotten about the key.
Shay said,
We can use it to change things, if we choose.
Grey frowned.
Change things how?
Shay looked at Eric, as if afraid to meet her brother's eyes. He could sense that fear again, armoured by the determined set of her jaw.
We can kill Bane, the king said.
He raised a hand before either of them could ask another question.
Let me just get this all out before you ask any questions. If we choose to turn the key to the right, Bane will die. We could do it right now if we wanted to.
Grey couldn't hold his tongue any longer.
But that's fantastic. Do it, I say. That murderer deserves whatever comes to him.
Grey, Shay said.
His eyes darted between his sister and Eric. There was something they weren't telling him. Eric opened his mouth to speak, but Shay beat him to it.
I'll tell him. He's my brother. It should be me.
Tell me what?
Shay opened her lips, closed them, opened them again.
If we turn the key to the right, it won't only be Bane who dies, but all the Fate Marked.
For a moment the truth didn't register in Grey's mind.
So what?
He didn't know any of the Fate Marked in all those distant lands, and they'd still be ridding the world of a madman. A merciless killer without a soul.
But then it hit him.
Eric was fate-marked. Shay was fate-marked. They would die, too.
You're not turning the key to the right, Grey said for the thousandth time.
Though it was risky, they'd stayed another night on Pirate's Peril. Everyone agreed that given the new information, they all needed to sleep on things and see what the morning would bring. Thankfully, the Drahma were apparently still licking their wounds and hadn't attacked again. For Grey, the morning was much the same as the day before, and it most definitely did not involve his baby sister committing suicide by Fate Mark.
It is our choice, Shay said.
Grey hated how she kept throwing around words like our and we and together when referring to she and Eric. Those were words that used to define them as siblings, not she and some random pirate king they'd just met.
The whole thing is ridiculous, Grey said,
biting down hard on a hard heel of rye bread.
Why would the Western Oracle give each of you half of a key, the half marks?
Shay interrupted.
That's what they're called.
Whatever, Grey said.
Why give you these half marks just so you can kill yourselves and all the other fate marked?
It's a fail-safe, the king explained.
Truth be told, the night of rest had done little for him. He had dark circles under his eyes.
The Oracle didn't know exactly what would happen once she unleashed the Fate Marked. She could only create us, not control us.
Bane was a risk. She hoped he would kill the most violent of the rulers and leave the peaceful ones. But now he's just killing everyone. And most of the other Fate Marked aren't helping matters either. Most of them are used in war and either killing each other or killing other people.
Grey scowled. How do you know any of this?
Shay sighed.
We just do, she said. We saw things and we understood.
Things you couldn't know until you met a pirate king.
Grey knew he was being unfair, but he didn't care. The whole thing was madness.
What pathetic sort of power is it to kill yourself? God's damned, I can even do that.
Give me a high enough cliff and I'll pretend to be a bird.
We already did that on the Dead Isles, remember, Grey?
Shay said.
Didn't kill us, did it?
Though Grey was still frustrated and angry, he was impressed by her wit.
But why should a 14-year-old girl have to die? A pirate king, maybe, but a little girl?
Grey, the pirate king said.
You stay out of this!
Grey fired back. Shay's teeth ground together.
I'll have you know I'm a woman flowered, Grey Aris.
The last thing Grey wanted to hear about was the flowering of his little sister.
You're a child.
Grey...
Eric tried again.
Shut it,
Grey said, pointing a finger at the pirate.
If anyone is acting like a child, it is you,
Shay said. She stood, stomping from the room, slamming the door shut behind her. Grey started to go after her, but Kyla grabbed his arm.
Roth, you can be difficult sometimes. And stubborn.
You forgot pig-headed,
Grey quipped. And the countenance of a mule, Eric added helpfully. Grey fired a scathing look his way, and the king snapped his mouth shut. He looked back at Kyla.
We're talking about my sister's life here,
he said.
Not whether she wants to run away to sea and marry a sailor.
And you would support her if she wanted to do the latter?
Kyla asked, hands on hips.
Well, no, but I would oppose it less vehemently.
Ha!
Kyla said.
After you told me about your criminal past, you couldn't stop going on about how you'd changed, how you were supporting your sister in her quest to find the meaning of her fate mark. But that was all a bundle of bollocks, wasn't it? You haven't changed a bit, not when it comes down to the meat of it.
Grey took a deep breath. Was she right? Was he still Grease Jolly, just going by a different name? Was that who he would always be? He remembered the pain of losing his hand, dwarfed only by the torment in his soul when he realized the Furia had taken his sister to the Dead Isles. It was then he had decided to change, to be someone Shay could be proud of. He could still be that brother, that man.
No, he said. I am not that fool any more. Then start listening, before opening that big mouth of yours. Eric has been trying to speak for some time.
Grey looked at Eric, who smiled at him and waved. Grey sighed. Said,
I'm sorry. I was cruel. I was angry.
Shay is the only family I have left.
Eric nodded, his mouth pulled into a tight line.
I understand. I never had a sibling, but when my father died, it took me months before I could pull my head from the sand and carry on his work.
What were you trying to say?
We already made our decision, Eric said, last night, while you slept. Heat rose inside Grey's chest once more, but determined not to blow up again, he tempered it.
And?
And we're leaving Pirate's Peril. Today. Like you suggested.
Grey was dumbfounded. Why hadn't Shay just said that?
It dawned on him. From the moment he'd woken up, he'd hounded her about the foolishness of killing herself to kill Bane, about how he wouldn't allow her to do it, how it wasn't really her choice. He'd mocked and he'd berated and he'd acted like a child, just like Shay had said.
I'm a fool, he said.
Aye, Kyla said.
A pig-headed, stubborn, mulish one. But I still love you all the same.
He found Shay near the edge of the cliffs, sitting on a rock. She must have seen him approach, but she didn't acknowledge him.
I'm sorry,
he said, clambering up and plopping down next to her.
Why?
She asked. She was tracing her palm with her finger.
The mark,
he realized.
She knows exactly where it is, even when it can't be seen.
A revelation rippled through him, something he'd never really thought about.
Shay's had to live with her mark her entire life.
How hard that must have been, especially not knowing what it meant. Grey, on the other hand, had preferred to pretend as if it didn't exist, only worrying about the risk of it being discovered.
Because it was your choice, it still is. I shouldn't have tried to bully you into my way of thinking.
Her eyes flashed with anger, pinning him in place.
You're only saying that because we decided not to do it.
He shook his head, his lips beginning to tremble as the words took shape. Tears blurred his vision.
Shay, I love you more than anything. I know I don't always know how to show it, and most of the time I say and do the wrong thing, but it doesn't change the fact that you're my sister. I just want you to be happy. If you need to do this, if you need to use your mark to kill Bane and the rest of the Fate Marked, then I'll support you. But God's damn it, Shay, I will miss you more than if the sun were to fall from the seventh heaven and crash into the sea.
Tears were dripping from his chin now, and Grey blinked to clear his vision, only to find that Shay was crying too. She fell into him and he held her as she sobbed into his shoulder.
"We could save lives, Grey," she said, her voice muffled against his shirt. "We could do good, but I'm too scared. I don't want to die."
He remembered the fear she'd tried to hide the night before. The only reason she would have been scared was if she was seriously considering using her key, her half-mark, along with Eric.
"I know, Shay,"
Grey said now, holding her tight.
"I know."
He held her for a long time, until she finally straightened up and looked at him.
"There's another way, you know. We can use our key another way."
Grey was beyond being surprised at this point.
"How?"
She spoke slowly, thoughtfully.
"Our key can also strengthen the powers of the other Fate Marked, if we're close enough. We might be able to help the ones that are trying to do the right thing, who are on the right path."
Grey nodded. Something about this felt right.
"How do you decide who to help?"
She smiled.
"We just know, Grey."
Captain Smithers was in mourning. Though he was still dreadfully ill from the Drahma poison, he managed to fight to his feet to make his last stand, begging the pirates to help repair the jewel so it could sail with the rest of their fleet. According to one of the pirate carpenters, the fix would take months. "Impossible," was the word he'd used.
"You can stay here with her," King Eric said, calling the old man's bluff. "Or you can command this beauty instead."
He pointed at a medium-sized ship with crisp white sails and fine, curving lines. In Grey's estimation, it put the jewel to shame. It was one of many ships without captains after the Drahma attack. Many of them were without crew as well, and would be left behind. Though Captain Smithers sniffed at the ship, and immediately began criticizing its numerous deficiencies, he boarded it without question, allowing two of his crew to help him below decks to locate his new quarters. Kyla laughed and followed. Grey began to as well, but stopped when Eric said,
"You're welcome on my ship."
His ship was, of course, the largest in the fleet, the enormous monstrosity they'd seen when they first sailed in and sunk in the Cavern Harbour. He'd since learned she was called the Pirate Queen.
"Thanks, but no thanks," Grey said. "I belong with them, and we'll be in close enough proximity, right?"
"Of course,"
Grey said. "I'm sorry. I know this place is your home. I'm sorry we ruined it for you."
Eric said,
"Like your woman said, stop being sorry. I'm not. We've relied on this place for too long, and we were always in danger from the Drahma, even if we didn't want to admit it. It's high time we left and did more than steal from the rich and give to the poor. It's time we fought for the abused, for the slaves of Fanes."
"Is that where we're going?" Grey asked. "To Fanes?" He gestured across the ocean, to where a long smudge of red sat between water and sky. The blade still strapped to his wrist slashed the air to ribbons. He'd considered removing the knife from his stump after they'd passed the Drahma archway, but decided against it. Truth be told, he'd grown accustomed to having it.
"Aye," the king said.
Grey nodded.
"I've always wanted to see the red rocks close up. Come on, Shay."
He beckoned to his sister, who had been watching the exchange with interest. She shook her head.
"I'll be fine here."
Grey's first instinct was to argue, to force her to join him on Smithers' new ship, but he managed to bite his tongue, barely.
"Good," he said. "May the wind be at your back.
I'll see you on the high seas."
Shay broke into a smile, for once looking exactly like the 14-year-old girl that she was. She charged across the deck and crashed into him, squeezing him tight. He was very careful not to impale her with his blade hand as he hugged her. There was only one obstacle left before they reached the open waters of the Burning Sea, the Drahma Archway. It was especially dangerous because only one ship could fit through at a time, which meant they lost any semblance of strength in numbers. They'd taken every precaution, with all hands on deck, armed and ready, but if the creatures attacked in droves, they would most likely be overwhelmed.
"Think they'll come," Grey whispered to Kyla. "They hate us now, Grey," she said. "Hatred can drive even the noblest of creatures into irrational decisions."
He was hoping for a simple no. He gripped her hand, leaning his blade on the railing of Smithers's new ship, which he'd renamed the Jewel II. His blade cut a thin, narrow path into the wood. Grey held his breath as the first ship, the King's massive vessel, sailed through unmolested. Another ship passed beneath the arch, then another. It was their turn. Grey peered up at the carvings in the stone, trying to remember how it felt when he'd first seen them, what kind of man he was. "Am I any different?" he wondered. "Does it even matter?" And then they were past, headed out to sea, the cliffs of Pirate's Peril growing smaller in their wake. "Yes," he thought, "it does matter, and I am different." For what was the point of swimming to the darkest depths of the ocean if you couldn't rise again and take a breath? See the sunlight shining down. "I have to change," he thought. "I have to be better, each and every day. We all do." He roped an arm around Kyla's shoulders, pulling her close. She leaned back to look up at him, her lips parting slightly, temptingly. He eased forward and kissed her.
"Get a cabin,"
one of the crew shouted, the rest of them exploding into laughter. 96. The Southern Empire, Fanes. A remote part of Fainia. Bane Garrick. The slave army was spread before them like an ocean of human flesh, 10,000 strong. They were primarily of Terran descent, their skin as red as the western cliffs, gleaming under the high noonday sun. They trained in battle leathers, practicing the art of Fenru, a martial art Bane was beginning to despise. Why waste so much energy on a series of acrobatic maneuvers when a simple slash to the throat would end an enemy's life just as well? Still, they were a marvel to behold, as they moved together, perfectly coordinated, not getting in each other's way as they flipped and spun and pretended to slash each other to ribbons. The spikes attached to their boots and the blades strapped to their wrists were dull and wouldn't do more than bruise. In a real battle, however, these men and women would devastate their foes, tearing through them like a spear thrust through wet paper. "Do you understand now why we have to do this?" Bane asked Chavos, who he was beginning to think of as his apprentice. He didn't want this to turn out like the last time, when Chavos hesitated at the last moment and tried to kill himself rather than releasing his plague on the Phoenicians.
"Yes," Chavos said. "Killing these slaves seems like a horrible thing to do, but if we don't, they will kill hundreds of thousands on behalf of the Emperor. We are saving lives, not ending them."
Though his friend spoke truly, Bane was disappointed that it sounded as if he were reading from a book. The words lacked his own conviction.
"Ah, well, that will come with time, when he sees the fruits of his labors," he thought.
At least he was here. At least he was trying. It was progress, a step forward. "Also, as the plague spreads, it will kill many of the slave masters," Bane reminded him. "Maybe even the Emperor." The latter was a long shot, and Bane was more than capable of ending Falkenhoser on his own, but he wanted Chavos to feel the power of what he was about to unleash. Chavos nodded, murmured,
"The Emperor,"
began removing the two pairs of gloves he wore to protect the world from his touch. Bane knew his friend was somewhat naive, but he didn't feel bad about manipulating him. His cause was too important for regret. No cost was too great to achieve peace.
"Are you ready?" Bane asked.
I think so.
What?
Yes, Chavos said more firmly. I'm ready.
Good. Bane, as he had done so many times since he'd started this partnership with Chavos, reached across to grasp his arm. The only difference this time was that Chavos no longer wore his gloves. With the speed of a striking snake, Chavos lifted his hand and touched Bane's face.
97. The Southern Empire, Fanes, a remote part of Fenia. Bane Gerrick. Bane was rarely surprised any more, but when Chavos touched him with his bare skin on Bane's bare face, he was so stunned that for a moment he did nothing but stare at the man he'd called friend, brother, companion. Chavos didn't offer a gloating smile, or an angry snarl, or a bitter scowl. No, he just looked sad, even as Bane felt the plague ripple across his skin, sinking into his bloodstream, contaminating his body.
"I'm sorry, Bane,"
Chavos said, sounding utterly sincere.
"It was the only way I knew how to stop you. I may not know much of the world, but I know what you're doing isn't right. Peace isn't achieved through more killing, and I won't infect the innocents below."
Bane was also surprised to find that he wasn't angry at his friend. If anything, he was proud of him. For the first time, Chavos had done what he'd wanted to do, what he felt was right, and it didn't involve killing himself. But that didn't change what Bane needed to do next. "Even a friend can be an enemy," he thought bitterly. "This is the world we live in. Fate-marked killing, fate-marked." In a flash, he drew his blade and shoved it into Chavos's gut. Just as quickly, he roped his arms behind his friend's head and back before he could fall, and laid him gently on the ground. Chavos's mouth was open in a silent gasp, the blood beginning to trickle from one corner of his lips. He seemed to be trying to say something, but Bane said,
"Shh! It doesn't matter any more, friend. You go to meet your creator, wherever she is. The Oracle will see your heart, and know that it is true."
Chavos died. Bane wondered how long it would be before he followed him. Bane was still trying to figure things out. He wasn't dead, so that was good. Though he could feel the plague inside him, sometimes burning, sometimes cold, it had little impact on his movements. Thus far, he'd seen few of the standard effects of the plague. No red bumps, no fever, no chills, no hallucinations. A little weakness, perhaps, but none of the severe muscle deterioration so often seen in plague victims. All things considered, Bane was in good spirits. He suspected his death mark had everything to do with it. Either his mark was holding the plague at bay, or slowing its progress. It might kill him eventually, he knew, but not today, nor tomorrow. And there was still work to be done. The plague also gave him a potential opportunity. That was why he was creeping amongst the thousands of sleeping forms. That was why he'd chosen a victim near the middle of the group. It would only take one, he knew, and the plague would do the rest. The slave soldier, like all of them, was young, perhaps 14. Young, yes, but a deadly weapon in the hands of his masters. He felt no remorse at what he was about to do. He wished it wasn't necessary, but this boy's life had been forfeit from the day he was born. He would be another sacrifice for the greater good. Slowly, carefully, Bane touched him on the ear. The soldier stirred but didn't awaken. Bane waited. Nothing happened. He touched him again, this time on the cheek. The boy's eyes fluttered open, but in the dark he wouldn't really be able to see Bane the way Bane could see him.
"Hello?" he said. "Is someone there?"
Bane said nothing, silencing his own breathing. Still, nothing happened. Bane vanished, returning to his hideaway, the one he'd once shared with Chavos. Whatever his death mark was doing to stop or slow the plague was also preventing him from spreading the disease. A pity. A tool like that could have come in handy. No matter. He had plenty of his own powers to use. But he would need to move up his timelines, just in case the plague killed him sooner than he thought it would. And he needed another ally. A stronger one.
one who was striving for the same thing as he was, but perhaps in a different way. An ally who might even be able to save his life. Yes. He could sense the violence brewing, like the tingling sensation in the air before a major storm.